Amen. One of my favorite hymns, Christ Liveth in Me. What a difference that makes in our lives, doesn't it? To have Christ in us. Let's turn to John chapter 4 again. We are in third message. Things we can learn from Jesus about personal evangelism. Someone wrote that if you want to learn something well, study under a master. Whether it's one of the arts, a trade, law, business, or sport, if you have the opportunity to study under someone who knows the subject well, don't pass it up. You know, when it comes to personal evangelism, there's no greater master than Jesus Himself. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. And we can learn so much just studying His life and the Gospels. If we really want to learn how to talk to people and witness to people, we need to study the life of Jesus. We need to have Him as our teacher. And as you read the accounts in the Gospels of His encounters with lost people, you will find that he never used the same approach twice. And we talked about that a little bit last week. And he always tailored the message to the individual. And I think that's unique. And, you know, because today, and I'm not saying it's wrong to have some kind of method or that you follow or a plan. I think it's good to learn different plans, actually, not just one. I think it's good to learn some different ways to approach the gospel. But, you know, Jesus, he allowed it to develop in a natural way. He tailored it every message to each individual. I want to read here in John 4. We're going to just start in verse 7 through verse 15. We're going to focus on this section here tonight. So there cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water, and Jesus said unto her, give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Then said the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. And Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that said unto thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he should have given thee living water. And the woman said unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou this living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? And Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. The water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman said unto him, sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Father, we thank you for giving us your word, and we thank you so much for recording this conversation that Jesus had with this woman of Samaria. God, just help us and open our eyes tonight to be able to learn another principle from Jesus about personal evangelism. Lord, I'm thankful for this opportunity to share the message, and I pray your Holy Spirit would guide and lead me. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So here in John 4, we've seen already that Jesus, he connected with this woman by initiating a conversation. You know, we talked about that principle last week, that personal evangelism, it begins with a conversation. That's how simple it is. It starts with us just starting a conversation and turning that conversation to spiritual things. The first truth we looked at was it's a way of life for Jesus. Personal evangelism is a lifestyle. And so those are two principles we've already looked at. But, you know, we find here that Jesus was very intentional about this. When he went to speak to this woman, if you'll look in verse 4, just go back to verse 4 here. It says, and he must needs go through Samaria. He was intentional. I mean, he knew about this woman. I mean, Jesus, you know, he's different than we are, is he not? I mean, he's the divine Son of God. He can foresee things. He knows. He's omniscient. I mean, verse 1 says, when therefore the Lord knew. I mean, he knew things. He was omniscient. He was the Lord. But he was intentional. When he went to Samaria, it was a necessity. He said, must needs go. And an important thing to realize is that the Jews typically did not travel through Samaria. That was not their normal route. I mean, even though it was the shortest route to go from Judea into Galilee, most Jews, because of what you read in this little editorial comment in verse 9, for the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Because of that very cultural issue, the Jews would not travel through Samaria. They would go roundabout. They would cross over Jordan. On the east side of Jordan, they would go up north, and then they'd cross back over Jordan into Galilee. So they totally would bypass Samaria. But here, the scripture says Jesus must needs go through Samaria. So he connected with this woman, and he was very intentional about what he was doing. Very intentional. You know, as he started this conversation we looked at last week, it started with just a very simple question or a request from Jesus. He started with a common interest, a need for water, a thirst. This is where he started. Just a simple asking for a drink of water. And from there, he turned the conversation to living water, arousing in this woman a spiritual thirst. That's going to bring us tonight to this third principle that we can learn from Jesus about personal evangelism. And that is this. We should arouse a spiritual thirst in those we seek to evangelize. We shall or should arouse a spiritual thirst in those we seek to evangelize. You know, you've probably heard this proverb. You can lead a horse to the water, but you can't force him to drink. Amen. You know, that may be true, but let me tell you something. You can always give the horse some salt and make him thirsty. You know, that's what we want to talk about tonight. You know, arousing some spiritual interest in people as we talk to them. And that's what you find about Jesus in this particular conversation. And let me just say this. The great thing about spiritual thirst is that it opens the conversational door to begin talking about spiritual things. If we can arouse people's spiritual thirst, and you know, another word for thirst is interest. If we can arouse their spiritual interest, it will open the conversational door to go further and talk to them about spiritual things and ask some of the hard questions. A spiritual thirst, it helps us to have a conversation that leads a person towards Christ without manipulation. That's what I like about it. When you read this passage about Jesus, there was no manipulation involved here. He wasn't using some kind of manipulation at all. He was just being very tactful. He was very kind. He was very gracious to this woman, and he had an intentional purpose of leading this conversation to spiritual things. And how he did it was he created in her, he aroused in her the spiritual thirst for living water. You know, I believe that spiritual thirst is the launch point that makes the conversation natural. You know, as you read through this, it just seemed like a natural conversation. See, like Jesus was just sitting on this well having a casual conversation with this woman. And that's how it should be when we are witnessing the people. It should be casual. It shouldn't be just some kind of sales pitch that we have just this canned approach where we have memorized this everything that we're going to say. You know, that may be good for when we first start out, when we go out. It might be good to have that as a backup plan as a start. I'm not saying that's bad, but I'm just saying I'm trying to challenge us to grow deeper in our witnessing. You know, that's what our year's all about, isn't it? Where do we grow from here? I want to try to grow from just the baby stages of witnessing to getting to where we're more like Jesus in witnessing, where it's more of a natural lifestyle, everyday thing, where we just lead people from a conversation into spiritual things, where it just, without manipulation, just naturally flows. We create in that spiritual thirst to know more. It gets exciting when you can start learning this principle, because if you can arouse that spiritual interest in people, what it's going to do is open the door of their heart to sharing the gospel with them. When it comes time to confront them with the truth of their sinfulness, creating a spiritual interest and thirst will open that door to do that. You know, thirst, you think about it, it's an amazing thing. It's a sign that we need something refreshing. It's a sign that something is wrong, that requires our attention, that our bodies are suffering. That's what I'm going to do right now. I'm going to get a drink. I'm thirsty. You know, thirst is, have you ever been so thirsty that your tongue stuck to the roof of your mouth? It's not a good feeling, is it? It's not a good feeling at all. I know I haven't done a lot of long runs this year or running period because of my ankle, but back when we were doing a lot of runs out on trails there, I know there was occasion that we were out in Palladera Canyon and it was extremely hot. In fact, I think it wasn't too long ago, it was just me and my wife walking. We didn't even do any running, but we walked very fast for 6 miles, and it was, you know, up and down, and I believe when we got back, the temperature in the parking lot on that temperature thing said 110 degrees. I mean, it was boiling hot. And but of course, you know, we're thinking, oh, we're used to heat. We like Africa. You know, we live in Africa, and we can handle this. And but I want to tell you, as we were coming back, it got pretty rough. It got pretty rough. We kept going, is this the last corner? Are we getting back close to the parking lot? And I mean, it got pretty rough, and the water was, I mean, down to nothing. Actually, there might have been a little bit, but it was hot by then. The water was hot. We couldn't even drink it. So I was pretty thirsty. When I got back, we drove down to the little store there in Palladera Canyon to get something nice and cold to drink. I tell you, being thirsty is something that it will cause you to search, to quench that thirst. That's what thirst does. You know there's something out there that's going to quench that thirst, and you're going to search it until you find it. And that's the same thing true with spiritual thirst, if you stop and think about it. And I want to say this. I don't know if you believe this or not, but I believe this. I believe that everyone is spiritually thirsty. And let me explain what I mean. You know, everyone, I believe, has a spiritual thirst, but they just may not realize it. It is true that not everyone is hungry and thirsty for God. I mean, that is true. But that does not mean that people are not thirsty. That does not mean that people do not have a need in their heart and in their soul. Every single person in this world is thirsty. They just don't know it. You know what the problem is? The problem is that they're going to the wrong sources to satisfy that thirst. They're going to the stagnant waters of this world and they're not getting satisfied. Yeah, they may not be thirsty for God, but they are thirsty. And it helps us to know that if you realize that truth, that everybody that you talk to, there's a spiritual thirst there. We just have to find it. It reveals itself in different ways. We just have to find it. We have to arouse that thirst and we have to use that to lead them to Jesus. And that's exactly what I believe this is all about here, Jesus. You know, there are other examples, and let me just say this is, you know, Nicodemus in the previous chapter, I believe it was spiritual thirst that led him to seek out Jesus at night. He had some things he wanted to, some questions, some things on his heart. He wanted to know more about Jesus. You know, I think about Zacchaeus. We talked about a little bit in Luke chapter 19 last week. You know, I believe it was spiritual thirst that caused him to climb up that sycamore tree so he could see who Jesus was. That's what caused him to do that. He was thirsty. He wanted to know more. Even the rich young ruler that came to Jesus. You remember that story in the Gospels where this rich young ruler came to Jesus and what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus pointed him to the commandments and, you know, and that guy said, well, I've done them since my youth up and what lack I now, you know, what lackest I yet or whatever. I believe he was thirsty. He was thirsty. But you say, well, Pastor, he left and he went away. He didn't get saved. That doesn't mean he wasn't thirsty. What it means is that he went to the wrong things to satisfy that thirst. What did he do? He went to riches. The things of this world. He went to the wrong source. You know, I love the story in Acts 8. The Ethiopian eunuch, he was sitting in his chariot. He had just gone up to Jerusalem to worship. He's going back to Ethiopia. He's sitting there reading out of Isaiah. There is some spiritual thirst there. When Philip came and began to preach to him Jesus. This woman of Samaria here in John 4, she was spiritually thirsty. She just didn't know where or how to quench that thirst. How do I know that she was thirsty? You know, as I said, thirst reveals itself in many different ways. And I want to just give you a few things, just what I can see in just this passage of Scripture. Well, this woman, I believe that she was seeking for love. She was looking for a meaningful relationship in her life. You know, because you read later in this story how that she had had five husbands and she was now living with a man that wasn't her husband. Think about this woman. She was a broken woman. She had all these different men that in her life that failed marriages, if it was, or whether they died, I don't know. But it seems to appear that she's an immoral woman from what we get from this passage. And so this woman, she'd been hurt and she'd been broken and she's longing for love or for meaningful relationship. She's no doubt longing for acceptance. And this woman coming to this well at noon, it says in verse 6, it was about the sixth hour. This would be 12 o'clock noon. The heat of the day. That's not the time to get water. I can tell you, even when we were in Goddard, when people went to fetch water, they didn't get water in the heat of the day. They went early, early in the morning. That's the way it was. I read in history back in the Bible times that they would go early in the morning to fetch water for their families. When it was cool. Why did this woman come at noontime? Why would she come in the middle of the day when it's so hot? It's because she was an outcast. It's because of the sin in her life, the guilt, the shame that she carried. Jesus knew all about this. This woman was a broken woman. This woman was a needy woman. She was no doubt spiritually thirsty. You know, this woman, we can even learn that she sought for true religion, because later on she was concerned about where the proper place was to worship God. But in every case, I believe, until she found Christ, she was drinking of the stagnant waters of this world, and she continued to thirst. And sadly, that's the problem today. That's the problem with most people today. They're going to the wrong source. They're thirsty. They have a spiritual need in their life that only Jesus can meet. But they're going to all the wrong sources. You know, this is not just true here in this text, but we see it in other places in Scripture. I want you to turn to Jeremiah 2 in verse 13. Jeremiah the prophet in chapter 2, verse 13. Hear Jeremiah preaching about the sins of the nation of Israel. Jeremiah 2:13. He said, "For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and they have hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns. They can hold no water." So what did the people do back in the old Jeremiah's day, in the Old Testament? They forsook the Lord, the true source of life, the true source of living water. He said the fountain of living water. He said they have forsaken me, and they're hewn out for themselves cisterns, broken cisterns, he says, that can hold no water. You know, what a beautiful picture this paints. You know, the water of this world is just like that. It's just like a broken cistern that can hold no water. It won't satisfy. I heard one of the best messages I ever heard on that verse was by Sam Davison. He tells a story in his sermon, and it's been many years ago that I heard this, but I remember the story. He tells a story when he was a kid. They grew up on the farm there in Oklahoma, and so he said one of his jobs was to clean out their cistern once in a while. They had a cistern, I believe he said it was under the house, and he would have to climb down there and he would have to clean this thing out, and then they would fill it again. And but he said he would go down there and he'd jump down in that cistern, and it had, I don't know how much water, maybe knee deep or something like that, and he would be down there cleaning it. But he said there'd be dead rats in this water. That was their drinking water. That was their water to wash clothes. That was their water to do what they needed to do. I mean, you think, ooh, dead rats in that cistern. Well, he would clean it out and then wash it out, and they'd refill it. And but he used that to illustrate that the comparison, you know, would you rather drink out of a fountain that's springing out fresh water? It's flowing, running. It's not still, stagnant water just sitting. Wouldn't you rather drink a spring of water? Have you ever drank spring water? I mean, out of a spring? I remember when we used to go up to the mountains, we used to stop in Cimarron Canyon and fill our water jugs up and full of spring water. I mean, it was good water until it got contaminated. But anyway, there's nothing like spring water. But, you know, in that message, Sam Davis was talking about, you know, when you go to the world to satisfy your thirst, it's like going to that dirty cistern and drinking. Why would you drink that instead of the fountain of living water? But that's what they'd done. And that's what this woman was doing. She had gone to all these other places. She had this longing in her heart. She had this thirst in her heart. And she was going to all these different places. You know, I read this morning, I believe, in Sunday school, but John 7, if you want to turn there, John 7:37, Jesus said in that last day of the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture had said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified." You know, Jesus is crying out. This was on the last day of the feast. This was when the multitude of Jews were gathered in Jerusalem for this feast of, I think this time was the Tabernacles. They're all coming in. And before all that multitude, he is given this invitation. "If any man thirst, let him come." Let me just say that people are not going to come to Christ if they're not thirsty. Now, I just said now they're thirsty, but they don't know it. That's why I come back to this point. We need to arouse that thirst. Let's go back to the story in John 4. Let's look at how Jesus did that. You know, Jesus, verse 7, we read that he said to her, "Give me to drink." And we read in verse 9 that this woman of Samaria said to him, "How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria?" You know, Jesus just simply being a Jewish man for one, and asking her for a drink of water. I mean, listen, the Pharisees would have considered that unclean. To drink out of a vessel of a Samaritan. So she's shocked because here's a Jew, here's a Jewish man asking for a drink of water. She's a woman. That's another cultural taboo back then. A man talking to a woman out there in public, a stranger. And she, not just being a woman, a Samaritan. So that alone aroused her interest in Jesus. I mean, she's like, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask me to drink for a drink?" And so he, by this very question, he aroused her interest. And so the question she asked him here in verse 9, he did not. Instead of answering that question, he further aroused her interest by his response in verse 10. Look what he said. Jesus answered and said to her, "If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that said to thee, 'Give me to drink,' thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water." I don't know if you can catch the gist of what Jesus is saying or how he's saying it. I can just picture in my mind as I'm reading this story of how he's saying that. "If you, woman, if you only knew what God wants to give you. If you just knew what God wanted to give, and if you just knew who I was, you'd be pleading and begging me to give you living water." See what Jesus is doing? I mean, they're on subject of water, they're on subject of thirst, and he's arousing that interest and thirst. And you know what? It's clear that he sparked her curiosity. She wanted to know more. She wanted to ask more questions. Because in verse 11, she says, "Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou this living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle?" See, he aroused her interest. He sparked her curiosity. And now she's wanting to ask more questions about this living water. Where are you getting this living water, Jesus? I mean, this well's deep. You don't even have nothing to draw that water out. How are you going to get this living water? Where is it going to come from? Are you saying you're greater than our father Jacob? She didn't realize it, but he was greater than Jacob. I want to just say something about that. If we can get people to ask spiritual questions, we just open the door to share the gospel. If we just get them aroused, spiritual, thirsty, interested, asking questions, bam, there's your opportunity. Share the gospel. I want you to notice when she asked this question about where he's going to get this living water, and he's greater than her father Jacob, and he didn't want to argue with her. He didn't even address those questions. But Jesus kept the conversation going towards spiritual things. I want you to notice that. Instead of getting sidetracked with this woman's, you know, questions, he's leading the conversation. He's keeping it moving towards spiritual things, because notice what he says in verse 13, "Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again." He's talking about that well water, Jacob's well. He said, "But whosoever drinketh the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." So instead of answering her questions, he begins to contrast the water of this world with the water of life that he gives. He begins to contrast the stagnant water of Jacob's well with this living fountain of water. He's contrasting this water that you have to go and fetch, that she had to walk probably more than a mile to go fetch it, with this water that would flow up inside of her into fountains or rivers of living water. He was contrasting the water that would only temporarily quench thirst with the water that would quench thirst forever. You see what he's doing? He's creating that thirst for this living water. He's pointing her to eternal things. He's pointing her to himself, who can provide this living water for her. That's what he's doing. He's a master at it. I mean, he's a great master at doing this. And I want you to notice at this point, in verse 15, the woman wants this water. Isn't that interesting? Now, this woman, she wants it. She says, "Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw." You know, she's not asking any more questions now. She just wants this water. I mean, he created that thirst and that interest in her. And now she's like, "Give me this water." And it's obvious that she didn't fully understand all the spiritual aspects of this water. But what I want you to see is how this master evangelist Jesus arouses this woman's spiritual thirst. He opens the door for sharing with her the truth of her sinfulness. It was completely natural, without any kind of manipulation. Because you know what? We're going to talk more about this next week. But look at verse 16. "Jesus said unto her, Go call thy husband and come hither." I want you to notice he never got to this issue of sin until first he created a spiritual thirst in her. A desire. You know, when I was studying this yesterday, and I want to tell you, I didn't pull this out of some book anywhere. I was just all day while my wife's in Emerald shopping, I'm just reading this, trying to figure out, okay, Lord, what's the next thing Jesus is trying to teach us? What is it? Lord, I'm pouring over this. I'm trying to figure this out. But, you know, this is one thing that just kind of jumped out at me. You know, it's kind of amazing. You know, I want to say that many times we never get this far in witnessing. We never get to the point of showing people their sinfulness and their need, because we fail to arouse that interest in them, that spiritual thirst. What happens is we try to get to that too quickly or unnaturally. I want you to imagine what would have happened here had Jesus done like a lot of Christians do today. When this woman came to the well, Jesus knew about her life. He knew about her background. Why do you think he said, go call your husband? He knew she didn't have a husband. He knew she was living with a man in adultery or in fornication. He was very kind and gracious, wasn't he? What a lot of Christians do today. You wicked woman. If you don't repent, you're going to spend eternity in hell. That's how a lot of Christians do it. I'm not saying we shouldn't approach people with sin. We should. We should bring the bad news. But what I'm trying to point out here is before Jesus did that, he created some interest and thirst in her. Where she said, I want this water. You know, I want you to think of this witnessing in terms of a relationship. You know, for those of you that are married, when you first met your spouse, you didn't start asking personal questions. You don't start out that way. I mean, you get to know them. I mean, the questions are kind of like what I told you last week. When you start a conversation, ask them questions like, you know, where do you work? How long have you lived in Dumas? Are you married? You know, just simple questions like that. That's the kind of things that we start out with. We meet someone, a girl, we ask, you know, where do you live? What do your parents do? You don't get into deeply personal questions right away. You build that relationship and you get to that point. You get to know them first, let the conversation flow naturally. You know, it's only after Jesus did that here with this woman, he got into this place of thirsting for this living water, that he pointed out her sin. He said, go call your husband. He is very gracious. And I want to say that he was different with everybody. I mean, you know, if it was the Pharisees who were antagonistic to his ministry, they were always questioning his authority. You know what? He didn't use this approach, did he? He was pretty blunt. He was pretty straightforward and pretty direct. Even harsh. You vipers. How shall you escape the damnation of hell? I mean, that's how he dealt with religious people. But not with this sinful, immoral woman. You may be thinking tonight, well, how can I learn to arouse people's spiritual interest? I mean, I'm not Jesus. How can I do this? How can I learn how to do this? And I want to refer you back to the message last week. I want to just review very quickly some of those things I gave you last week. There's no one way to do it. That was the first thing I shared. Second was experience is essential. You're not going to learn it until you go do it. I can't sit here tonight and go through every scenario that you're going to face when you talk to people in a conversation and tell you how to answer that person or how to lead them to a conversation with Jesus. Experience, that's how you do it. You just start. I mean, I'm excited, Brother Robert. You hadn't been saved very long. Talk to your coworker. Praise the Lord. That's how you do it. I mean, I don't think anybody's gone alongside him and say, hey, Robert, this is how you do it. You do A, B, C, 1, 2, 3. This is how you do it. You just start. Just talk to people. You know, prayer makes the difference was the third thing I shared last week. Pray. Depend on the Lord. The fourth thing I shared was follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit. He'll give you words to speak. You know, we just don't trust in the Lord very much anymore. I mean, we think, well, I don't know how to do it. You got to show me how. But why don't we just trust the Lord? Why don't we just, by faith, obey the Lord? He said, go ye. Go ye in all the world. Go and preach the gospel to every creature. Why don't we just obey him to see what happens? I mean, that's how they did it. What happened in Acts 8 when they were persecuted? It said they were scattered everywhere. They went everywhere preaching the gospel. It said, except the apostles. It was just normal Christians that went out everywhere and was preaching Jesus. They were forced to go out by persecution. You remember some of those practical tips I closed with last week, and I want to review that again too. You know, it all begins with asking questions. It's like Jesus, give me a drink. Asking questions about their family, their job, their background, things that they're familiar with, things that they're experts on. That's not hard to do. It's not hard to start a conversation to ask people, are you married? Do you have any kids? And what do you do for a living? Do you have any hobbies? You know, eventually we get to the point where we can ask them, do y'all go to church anywhere? Did you grow up going to church? I mean, you just ease into that. You get into that. You build that natural flow and just talking to people and listen to the words that they're saying to you. Listen to what their answers. And as you listen, pray. And look for areas of spiritual thirst. And you know what? If you look, we just need to look. We need to learn how to look for that, because it may be this person's a lonely person. Maybe this person is filled with anxiety about their future, about their kids' future. Maybe they're having marriage problems. Maybe their kids are having problems. Maybe they're having health issues. Maybe they're struggling with depression. Maybe they're searching for guidance in their life, for major decisions. You know what? Those are all the way areas where people they have a sense of need. The wonderful news is Jesus can meet all those needs. Beginning, of course, with their soul, but their salvation. We just need to learn to listen and look for areas of spiritual thirst and arouse that thirst. That's what Jesus did. You know, just think about this woman. She was an outcast. Just think about her. She was coming at an hour that no one would have been there. I mean, she's thinking, I can only go when nobody's there because I'm tired of hearing all these insults of all these ladies, you know, telling me how wicked of a person I am. I'm tired of all this being these judgmental people and how they judge me and for my life and, you know, all these things. And so she goes at a time where she's not going to have to face all those things. But when she gets there, guess what? Jesus is sitting there. But he didn't say, hey, woman, you're just a bad woman. You're living such a wicked life. No, Jesus was kind to her. He started a conversation with her. And he started addressing her deepest spiritual needs. Pointed her to the truth. You know, maybe you're here tonight, you're like that woman. You're thirsty, you're weary. Back to John 7 when Jesus said, if any man thirst, let him come to me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. If you're thirsty tonight, come to Jesus. He can meet that need. He can satisfy that thirst. How long have you been drinking at that stagnant well? Why don't you come get some living water? Why don't you quench your thirst tonight? Think of how your life can change if you'll just come to Jesus and trust Him. How you can have living water. You can be satisfied. Never thirst again. Christian tonight, think of how many doors can open for sharing Christ if we would just be like Jesus. If we just have just kindness and respect and care for other people, not being judgmental, being compassionate, being respectful, being tactful, being obedient, just going and doing it. Allowing the Holy Spirit to use us. Think of how many people could hear the gospel if we did that. Now, I can't tell you all the ways how to do it, but I can tell you that the Lord can help you. He can help you. If we just got to do it. Amen. We just have to do it. Trust the Lord. You know, I could give many. I gave a couple of weeks ago our first experience, and we backed out of it. We were scared to death. But you know, that's where it all started. And the more people I witnessed to and talked to, the more I learned. There were times that I would go home and like, man, that didn't go too well. But that's how you learn. You know, we got all these excuses. We're like, well, something. What if I say the wrong thing? Or what if, you know, I mess up? Or forget all that. Just go. Just go and talk to people. Just let it be natural. Just love people. Be compassionate. Be kind. Don't be judgmental about them. I mean, lost people are going to look like lost people. They're going to do things lost people do. They need the Lord, just like Miss Vicky sang this morning. People need the Lord. But how are they going to find the Lord if we don't go? If we don't care? And I think tonight, if we would just get a hold of this principle, try to arouse that spiritual hunger and thirst in people, it can open the door to sharing the gospel. Let's stand tonight, and we're going to go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we're so grateful for giving us a great example in our Savior. And He was no doubt a master soul winner. Lord, there's so much we could learn from Him. But if we just get a hold of some of these very, very simple truths, that personal evangelism is a lifestyle. It shouldn't be just for certain times or certain days, but it should be every day. It should be everywhere, wherever we are, wherever we go, wherever we meet people. And it begins with a conversation, with an intention of turning that conversation to spiritual things. And Lord, you've shown us in your word how that can happen. If we just pray and just trust you to give us the words to say. And if we just be obedient, Lord. And Lord, that tonight we learned that we need to seek to arouse spiritual thirst in people. Everybody's thirsty. We need to help arouse that thirst toward Jesus. Show them how that loneliness that they're experiencing, that Jesus can meet that need. That He can be present with them at all times and give them that sense of completeness. Or those that are going through depression, that are or uncertainty about their future, if we can use those needs in their life to point them to a Savior that's able to meet those needs. You know, we can use these felt needs that people have to point them to their real need of Christ. Lord, I pray that You would just help us tonight, Lord, to be willing to be used of You, to be willing to go, to be willing to meet people where they are. Lord, that You might use us in a great and mighty way this week. Lord, bless this invitation, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.